All right, brother.
Yeah.
Again, if you don't mind, if I can, quick little story, start the show off, get the energy flow up, going and moving.
Absolutely.
All right, brother. So it was this young black American, right? Grew up in Harlem. Let's say his name was Frederick Maxwell.
Frederick Maxwell.
Yeah, he, against all odds, dude, rose to the occasion, was able to go to medical school and become a young nurse, a nurse at a young age.
Yep.
Above and beyond that, dude, he actually ended up becoming the personal nurse of an affluent family, the mother of which who had contracted cancer.
Oof.
And was dying slowly and painfully and all the way that cancers worked. And he went under this family's wing and they took care of him and he took care of her. And much they all fell in love like a family, not anything inappropriate, nothing disgusting. Come on, this is a classy show. All right. And right before this lady's approaches her own end, dude, right in the, not in like the last moments, but you know, deathbed era.
Right.
She starts telling him that she's convinced she knows how she contracted this terrible cancer, dude. And wow. And that she told what did they say his name? Maxwell? Frederick Maxwell?
Frederick Maxwell. Yeah.
From Harlem. So she lets him know, dude, that she's convinced that she contracted cancer from this machine that her husband would fuck with.
Oh, no.
All right? Now, to tie this back in, you might know her husband, dude.
Well, who's Tesla?
No, dude. Let me give you a hint, dude. This machine would shrink the family down, right? And then blow them back up in the sequel. And then shrink them back down in the third one. And then blow them back up in the next one. And she was getting blown up and shrunk and blown up and shrunk by this motherfucker named Rick Moranis. He promised Mrs. Moranis he would exact revenge one day.
Oh,
and
wow.
All we get is the clip of young Frederick or Maxwell or the kid from Harlem just sucker punching Rick Moranis in Times Square.
I saw that.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knew the backstory, but it's all cleared up now.
We waited fucking years because Rick Moranis went into hiding after giving his wife cancer. Finally, he was out and about in a time of COVID where he thought he was safe. And here comes that young man from Harlem. Boom, kick in your face perspective, just like our
social nuisance podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are going to be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to town. We're going to town.
Yeah!
They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social nuisance.
Social nuisance podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current, requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor and we'll advertise or shout out whatever you want us to just by dropping a dollar in the Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name's Imagine, and joining me as always, the hero that found our DOS dog, Motion.
Yeah, don't give me too much credit. So here's the gig. Your dog was in our front yard somehow. We're not neighbors by any means.
No, not at all. So give me some backstory. So I married into my wife's family, and part of that family was this fucking husky named Gypsy. And
that's a powerful combination right there.
Oh man. Me and Daisy, we've been dating, I think going on 6 years. Well, seen each other, I guess you could say, but married to, check the math, judges. Point is we've been together for a long time. And what I'm trying to get at is I've been with this dog for a very long time. And she's a husky and she gets out all the fucking time, but somehow, some way, she finds her way back. I mean, it was a next door neighbor or someone down the street, random family friend found her off the side of the road, picked her up not too far from the house. But this last time she got away, I think this past weekend, and she was gone for like fucking 3 or 4 days,
dude, give or take,
almost a week.
So I come home Wednesday.
Yeah.
And this wolf type creature is out front. And you know, like, I'm telling the kids, because they're playing outside, I'm like, hey dude, this is, you guys don't know this dog. Like, little did I know, I knew the dog, but I was like, you guys don't know this dog, stay away from it. But she kind of kept following me around the property, but I had to run to a job site or something, I can't remember. So I had a dip, and I told her before I left, I said, hey dude, if you're here when I come back, I'm gonna cook you a steak.
She'll take you up on that.
When I came back, my sister-in-law, they had tied her up, and they're like, dude, that's Daisy's dog. But I didn't know y'all were missing yours.
Yeah.
So then it was up to the females, did the female Hispanic thing, where they all, you know how Mexican women are.
Yep.
But that's now in the text era. It's before it used to be, that's how Mexican women,
yeah.
But yeah, man.
Yeah, and then, yeah. Somehow, some way, my dog traveled fucking assload of mileage and ended up in your front yard. And just by complete circumstance, happenstance, chance, just found you. It just approached you and was like, hey, man, I know you. I know you know where I live. Take me home now.
Yeah, it was crazy, but and like it kept tricking me because I remember her name, so I would look at her, and again, I didn't know y'all was missing yours, so
yeah.
It was just like when someone suggested, like, hey dude, Daisy's dog is, I'm like, damn, I mean, huskies are huskies though, right? They look the same, right? And I look at her, I go, Gypsy, and she looks up at me, and I go, but I'm looking at you and saying something. I could go, carne asada, and you too would, you know, like, there's, you know, dialect, or what's it called when you, the way enunciation?
Yeah, you're like your tone.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, I couldn't tell. And I was just so happy for you guys, well, for Daisy, I don't know how you felt. Oh, so I was going to text you, dude. I was going to be like, hey, bro, just so you know, Daisy told us it's not Gypsy, but she took her home anyways.
I have a love-hate relationship with that dog. I like to compare it to not too long ago we were talking about New York.
Yeah.
People take ownership of New York. It's like, look, if you're going to talk shit about New York, you can't because you're not from New York.
Yeah.
New Yorkers can talk shit about New York. I feel the same way about my dog. Like, I hate that dog, but only I'm allowed to hate that dog. No one else is allowed to hate it.
Like when you have a spoiled cousin, you're like, listen, brat. And then someone else is like, yeah, that brat. And you're like, hey, that's my brat.
Exactly. Yeah. She's an asshole, but she's my asshole. So
I know. Exactly. Well, all right. Let's maybe check our words. Maybe not use asshole because, you know, you actually have an asshole.
Okay. Yes. Right. We talked about words, and I want to update you that I've been actively attempting to change. Every time I want to call someone a bitch, I just call them a litter box.
You're going with litter box?
I'm going with litter box. And given the amount of laughter I'm getting from Daisy each time it comes out, I'm
sticking
thinking
with it.
Stick with it. I'm
yeah. Woo! One life changed, bro.
Yeah.
You know, we got into the show knowing that we would affect each other, you know, in simpler ways, but really with the goal of just going more global. And here we are, dude, just making ourselves better. I've definitely upped my Buster usage, that's for sure.
Buster.
Yep.
Fantastic. But how's the rest of your week, man? Things are going?
Things are going all right, man. Things are going all right, dude. I don't even want to entertain the negative energy in my life because I'm pushing it out, especially for the, I know people dial in here, it's for positive energy, right?
That's
positive
true.
Energy and positive COVID results. 50,000 cases a day now, bro.
That is positive, I guess, is one way of looking at it.
Right?
Yeah, there's enough stress going on. I mean, that's why we didn't do the show last week. I had a lot going on, including the lost dog. And I was like, just fuck, man. I need a mental timeout.
Absolutely. So
that happens. And I think while we were gone, potentially the best story of 2020 happened.
Which one is that?
Do you have TikTok? Have we discussed this?
I do not have. Oh, excuse me. I do not have TikTok. Don't edit that out. I love it when people burp on podcasts. I don't have TikTok. Sorry. What happened on TikTok?
I do not have TikTok either. But I think it was within the past week or so. This guy by the name of Nathan.
Yes! Apodaca?
Nathan Apodaca?
Dogface, right?
Yes, Dogface on TikTok became a viral sensation, becoming the hero we didn't know we needed, but definitely needed during this year, 2020. So I'm pretty sure everyone knows the guy. So Nathan is the dude, the cholo, who was seen skateboarding, listening to Fleetwood Mac's Dreams while drinking some Raz Cranberry juice, Ocean Spray, and just vibing. And everyone watched the video and was like, hey, this is a vibe right here, and I'm with it.
Yeah, dude. You know, I think we've just been in such a rut with not just like negativity and negativity in the world, but also I feel like the algorithms evolved, and maybe we could talk to that in a second. But to have this cool, like literal wave, you know, of just positivity and you know, that song, some certain songs are made, you know, to the rhythm of your heart, or, you know, they just kind of dial into your spirit, you know, scientifically and spiritually. And I just feel like there's nobody goes, that's a terrible song. I mean, I've never heard of that. Yeah. You know, it's a great song, dude. And I'm happy for him. And I saw him on a bunch of podcasts and doing spots. And I know he's getting paid for interviews here and that. And people, like, he seems like someone who like, didn't know he needed it either, you know?
Yeah, I think the cool story isn't the fact that he was able to catch a vibe on film that we could all relate to. I mean, that's definitely where it all starts. But I think the most positive aspects of the story of how it brought the world together, at least America, it brought America together and exposed a lot of people to this awesome song. The song is back in the top 40, streaming like crazy. Ocean Wave, because he was drinking the Raz Cranberry juice. Ocean Wave gave him a new truck because his truck broke down, and that's why he was skateboarding to work.
Yeah.
And then he has 500 million views on TikTok, and he has a bunch of fan donations to the cause, and he said he's going to use all that money for a new home.
That's so rad, dude. That's totally cool. I was thinking about, like, who does that video not appeal to, right? And let's break it down. I don't know. The skaters, you know, like skaters are skaters of all races, right?
Right.
Cranberry juice. I mean, that definitely, I'm not going to say which ones, let your mind wonder, but that taps into a couple minorities I know about. He's Native American. You saw he's got that feather tattooed across his head.
Yeah, the feather tattoo is for his mom.
He looks like a cholo, right? He's half Hispanic, half Native American, because I watched an interview where that's from his words.
Nice.
And then he's listening to Fleetwood Mac. There you go, white people. You know what I mean?
Everybody wins.
He's the melting pot. That is the real moment of a melting pot. And guess what? He works at a potato factory in Idaho.
Yeah.
That's amazing, right?
I mean, I think it's a great example of just really good vibes for everybody involved.
Hey, you want to hear a quick baby robot baby story real quick? Oh,
absolutely.
All right. This dude goes to the pumpkin patch today, dude.
Oh, and, nice.
At the pumpkin patch, he won a little goldfish, right? On the way home from the pumpkin patch, he did a high velocity puke like The Exorcist, and he tried to cup it with his hands. So he rained down on everybody in the car puke. And so I named the goldfish Ralph. He's right there. He's going to say hi real quick. He wants to see you.
Oh,
okay. Get out of here. We're busy.
Okay, cool.
Oh, no one in the car was our family. Don't worry. It was all aunts and cousins. So we're fine. We didn't get rained on.
That's all that matters. That's all that really matters.
Yeah.
That sounds like a magical experience.
He came out. He's like, did you see my fish? Because he, of course, had a shower. I go, yeah, dude, I already named it for you. His name is Ralph.
That's a magical experience. And if you're going to have a magical experience, it's only because Disneyland is still closed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to rely on yourself to make some magic, that's how you're going to do it. But for those who are in dire need of their Disney fix, people are still making pilgrimages to downtown Disney.
The world. Oh, downtown Disney, really?
Yeah. So
I know Disney World is open too, right?
Yeah, Disney World is open, but I've always wanted to point out to two, or actually one, two. There's two parks, one really important factor. The one in Florida, international visitors. Nobody in Orlando wants to go to fucking Disney World.
Okay.
Nobody in Florida fucking, if you live in Florida, you don't fucking care about Disney World. But if you are in Anaheim, that's all there is. It's like the fucking glorified mall. Like, you know, the mall was the thing in the 80s. That's Disneyland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So everyone is still trying to get their fix. Everyone, these Disney crackheads need their Disney fix. They need their pixie dust. They need their magic. But Disneyland is still closed. So funny enough, I came across an article where Bay Area Disney fans are still going to Disneyland, like the resort area for downtown Disney.
Okay.
Just for a day trip.
From San Francisco.
They drive all the way down from San Francisco to downtown Disney and then turn right back around and go back up.
Okay.
Last I heard, there was approximately an hour wait just to get into Downtown Disney.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? I can do
that. Yeah, that is crazy. That's what, 5-6 hours? Oh, no, it's even more because they're south from where I usually leave from. So like 6-7 hours.
It's ridiculous. And it's just kind of crazy. I think this is a good indication because if you're not familiar with the Southern California area and those who love Disneyland out here, there's no chance in hell of opening Disneyland safely.
Absolutely not.
On the first day when Downtown Disney opened, they had all these plans. They had all these protocols to keep everyone socially distanced, wearing face masks, the whole nine. They had a plan. And as the great Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah, punched in the face by COVID.
That's exactly what happened. You know, not even COVID, not by COVID, but by annual pass holder Disney rabid fans. So I thought it was just interesting enough to bring up, you know, there's a lot of talk in Southern California about opening up the theme parks. You know, you have Disneyland, Universal Studios, Legoland, SeaWorld just opened not too long ago.
Did they really?
And you have not SeaWorld, I'm sorry. All these organizations in California that want to open, but the governor is not providing any direction to open safely or even entertaining the notion of opening up. And people are getting pissed off. People are losing their jobs. A lot of money being lost.
On either side of the line, brother, you're fucked for re-election, right? Like, it seems like I think we're going to have 50 new governors in the next 3 years. You know, like, I know they switch off elections or whatever. I know we don't elect 50 governors at once, but I think you're just kind of royally fucked. I don't see a re-election for Newsom. And as I look around, especially while we're talking about Orange County, I'm getting this feeling that I see way more Republican, posters or candidates endorsements than usual. I don't know if it's because I'm older or if there has been a shift. But I will say, going back to the theme park, there's no safe way to do that. There is no fucking safe way to do that. We either got to go like herd immunity and we all just grab each other and make out, or like, you know, real shutdown. But there's no it's too big a liability for fucking everyone, dude.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about Disneyland. Its capacity is probably like around 40,000 people. And if you open up at 20%, you're still looking, or, you know, at
8,500 people or something.
Thousands of people are still going to be there, not to mention employees that are still present as well. It's just too risky, too much. So for people who are just like, you know, we got to open the theme parks, and those who are really saying like, you know, jobs, you got to open up for the jobs, the job, people are losing their jobs. Like, I was one of those people that lost a fucking job over the theme park closing.
Yeah.
But I'm over here saying, nope, keep that shit closed. Because it's just not worth opening. But yeah, the notion of people coming down for a day trip to Disneyland is a clear indicator that it's going to be an absolute madhouse when Disneyland opens.
It's also an indicator that people are fed up, right? I'm getting to the point where I think it's like, you know, people get so numb to the news. We're not entirely free of responsibility for the 24-hour news cycle, you know, as consumers. And it's like we've been bombarded by COVID so often for so long,
right,
that I feel like they're numb to it. Meanwhile, 50,000, the biggest outbreak since day one, has been taking place, you know, weekly now.
Yeah.
And it's just like people are just talking about doing things like, you know, we were talking about going to the pumpkin patch. And I'm like, okay, I think there's a safe way to do this. And we get there and they're like, $25 for unlimited rides. I was like, nope. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's going on fucking rides, bro. Like, if you're here to get a pumpkin and take pictures by the big pumpkins and see the animals, we could do all that safely. I feel like, I don't think you could pet animals safely, but right. I mean, we can experience a pumpkin patch like the way I did it growing up, like poor kids. You fucking go and you're lucky if you get a pumpkin. You know what I mean?
You're not wrong.
You stay masked up. You keep distance. I'm telling you, I believe there's a safe way to do most of this stuff, but you got to accept the fact that whatever risk you incur, that's on you. You know, almost we got to have like a social contract that by leaving your home, you signed a liability waiver just by the act of leaving. No one is responsible for you at that point. And you, but the other thing is too, we live among such shitty people that go out sick. You know,
Yep.
Where by all means, they should have stayed home. And then again, this is a sickness where some people don't even fucking know they're sick. I mean, we don't got to go over the COVID shit, but yeah. I think that the fact that people are willing to drive 12 hours in a day to see some resemblance of something they love is just proof that they're fucking freaking out, man. They're antsed out. And I, you know, talk about timing, dude. The time to have gone head on with this has passed us, and the winter is coming, and you know what that brings us. You've seen Game of Thrones.
I've seen portions of Game of Thrones. I heard there's like snow or
something. That's the winter.
Dragons. Oh.
Yeah. It's like the winter is coming, like the bad guys, and they're kind of like winter zombie things, but there is no Jon Snow. There's only Donny T, bro, and he's not going to save us from COVID-19.
That's not good.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yes, I thought that was a very interesting article. But speaking of being poor, it's not that bad, right?
It's not
that bad. But apparently, some people look down upon it, especially kids. Kids are assholes, right? Especially with the rich kids.
Absolutely.
Well, there was a mom out there who decided, I'm not going to have that kind of kid. There was an affluent mom, and she went to Reddit to ask for a public opinion. Her son got busted for bullying kids for being poor.
Okay.
So mom had an idea for punishment, and she needed a second opinion, if you will, from the internet. And her punishment for the kid was, hey, if you think that you're going to look down on poor people for being poor when you yourself are a kid and have done nothing to earn any of this money, how about you go fuck yourself? We're going to go to the thrift store. You're going to get all your clothes from the thrift store. No name brand shit, unless you're lucky and find some, like, you know, highly discounted things that just ended up on the rack. You're not going to be driven around in nice cars. You're going to be driven out in my clunker that I still have. And then you still have sports that you want to do at school. Cool. But you're going to have to use borrowed sports equipment.
Was that kid's name Macklemore? Boom! That was a grand slam, bro. Okay, I'm sorry. Borrowed sports equipment.
I thought this was a really cool creative way of punishing your kid, and not really punishing them, but just providing them perspective.
Yeah, it is. You know, more people need to do stuff like that. It's cool. I don't know, dude. It can become a moment of gesture. You know, like if they don't absorb it the right way, like if they're like, come on, man, get the fuck out of here. It's the kid. I mean, there's bad apples, right? And some kids got to go through pain before they notice that they're causing others pain.
Sure.
But, I don't know. I guess it could totally work out. I hope it does. Kids are kids, too. They kind of, I don't know. I was convinced that, like, if you don't fix kids, they grow up to be shitty people. And
I agree.
That's, like, 80% true, I think, now that as a grow up. It's, like, also, kids are pretty much shitty, you know? And they're like pinballs, dude. And eventually, they'll get to the right spot. But
I think so, a little bit, but not entirely. I think they do need some guidance and direction, and at least very, very much a perspective. So you have this kid who he comes from money. He's brought up well. He's able to afford really good things because that's what his parents provide him. They're wealthy. But I think there's a level of humility that needs to be taught that materialistic things and status symbols does not provide you any real level of personal status, you know?
Absolutely. And as a parent, if you find fault in your children's ways, it is your fucking one responsibility to alter that perspective or to provide balance. And obviously she saw that. But was it someone from Reddit that offered that as a result? Or
no,
Reddit
was a shit show.
Oh, okay.
No, her idea was to use humility as a punishment. And she went to Reddit. Apparently there's like a Reddit message board where it's kind of like, am I the asshole in this situation?
Oh, I do not belong on that board.
I'm pretty sure it would go really well.
I'll get more yeses than your favorite porn star. Yes, yes, yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Sorry.
No, I just wanted to bring it back. You know, do parents have or should have a responsibility of raising kids with humility?
Yeah, absolutely. If your kid comes equipped with it, that's fucking great. There's some things that are, you know, God-given, for lack of better words. And your one responsibility after accepting the child that you put on this planet is to provide it every best opportunity at life. And if it's taking a bad turn, you not only have a responsibility to that child, but if you live in the social contract, you have a responsibility to the society around you. God damn, that's hard to say. Responsibility to the society around you to not raise another Hitler.
That's true. This kind of brings me to another perspective I posted up on my Facebook as a conversation generator. So say this kid, he wasn't steered correctly, and he grows up to be a continuance of an asshole, right? Mm-hmm. Or as I like to call them, litter boxes.
There you go.
Yep.
You're good. Still there? Yeah.
Hold on. I think it's the headphones now.
All right. No worries. Take your time.
Yeah, because they were charged, and then I charged them, and then it said they were fully charged, and now they're not charged again. Yeah. How old are they? 2-3 years?
I would call those headphones busters!
All good. Okay. So say this kid continues to grow into life and he becomes a litter box.
Got it.
So just recently I had a post on my personal Facebook, and I was talking about how just because you're old doesn't mean you need to continue with this false narrative of respecting your elders just for the sake of respecting your elders because they're old.
Correct.
Okay. So this kid grows up to be an asshole, and he's old enough to be in that realm of respect your elders. Now, if someone younger than him, especially if they're related, knows better, does he need to continue to respect their elders, even though they're not worthy of respect if they didn't earn it?
So I think, I'm not sure. I think that it's kind of too simple a statement to say respect your elders. I think what I learned growing up with respect my elders is they get the initial respect. You automatically initially respect them, and then it's up to them to kind of merit it or not, you know?
Okay, question.
So, yes, sir.
Is it a different kind of respect of that context of respecting your elders? Is it a different kind of respect than any other general respect you would show to someone you've just met?
I think so.
How so?
I think it's a little bit more forgiving. I think, shit, I don't know. So you anticipate that every generation gets better, right?
That's the case, yeah.
And that maybe not all faults are faults of the one member or the one faulted. So like we said, sometimes, you know, cracks are passed on. And if you can just give someone that hash of respect and kind of let it slide, you might be able to absorb those faults. Like, I feel like old white ladies over 65 get one N-bomb a year. I mean, I don't feel like that specifically, but it's like you had it free for 40 years. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. But I think that what it is the world goes smoother if you initially give an elder that respect. And then hopefully that their life has been pinball-y enough, that their bad behaviors have been corrected and life has made its adjustments. And if it hasn't, it hasn't. You don't need to continue on with that person. But it's a lot easier for everyone if you hold the door open for an old lady, if you get a luggage for someone who's older. Just make it, you know, it's kind of like when football players fall down and they all help each other up. It's because it's less energy than the one football player getting up for himself.
Okay, but how is that different from showing common courtesy to anyone else?
If someone's younger than you and they have those faults, you don't got to tolerate it at all.
But you would still hold the door open for someone and help someone with their luggage if they're struggling. Right?
Yeah,
you don't have to be old to help people like that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't tolerate any faults from them. Like, I don't know, like if it was a white dude my age and I held the door open for him and he's like, you know, said something racist, then I'd like trip him and slap him or something. I don't know.
Okay, so it kind of comes down to a little bit more leniency of tolerance.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe respect isn't the right word for that, but yeah. And so what does that mean? Does that mean they qualify to automatically not respect us at all?
Well,
we're younger.
Well, I think that's what the expectation is, and I'm trying to get at, you know, a generational thing, especially with myself and then other friends of mine who have a cultural background with a high respect of your elders. Don't talk back to your elders. Just be quiet and just, you know, do what they say, or don't engage them if you disagree with their perspective or what have you.
I think over the past two generations, we have veered from like just doing what older people say, right? Are we kind of breaking loose of that, like, as a society?
Well, this is the thing. I'm here to just totally decimate it.
Yeah.
I don't believe in it in any shape, way, or form. I think I was brought up to respect those who show you respect.
Yeah.
Now, going back to your initial meeting of people, I think I'm more respecting of people I just meet, regardless of their elder or age or status or what have you. I mean, I think I treat everyone the same with common courtesy and just trying to be a good human.
Well, here's a for instance. My kids are skaters, and so they're automatically frowned upon by people older than them just by merit of skating. Just seeing them on the sidewalk, people are like, ah, fucking punks.
Sure.
So when they go out, I tell them, hey, dude, I don't give a shit who talks to you how. You guys are going to get stopped by the cops because you're skating in parking lots. You're going to get hit up by security. You guys, you're already being attentive catching. Whether or not you agree or not, it doesn't matter.
True.
Do not fucking talk disrespectfully to anyone older than you, no matter what they're saying. Because I don't want that interaction to already go worse. You know what I mean? Because I know in my kids' heads, they're not doing nothing wrong by skating, which they're really not. They're not grinding on benches or fucking up. You know, they're just skating.
Yeah, I think I agree with you in the sense that you're in a position where they're going to come after you because you look like trouble.
Yeah.
Don't give them a reason to validate their perspective of you being trouble.
Yeah. And if a cop pulls up and he goes, hey, fucking punks, I don't care. Don't interact. If you said, hey, sweetheart, you act the fucking same. You know what I mean? So those are kind of, but I tell them that with elders when they're out skateboard, because they take the buses, they hop around, and you know, they travel the city, and it's just like, just don't interact negatively with elders, because one, you're fucking already, you're a superior human being in athlete sense. It's not going to be fucking fair. You know, like, just leave it alone. Like, let them say what they, kill them with kindness, and then dip. But
I see what you're going.
And I wouldn't say do what they say. If they're like, hey, get in my car, I'd be like, fuck you, old man. But
I think I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
I think you're on a track of it's avoiding conflict if there's no need to engage in conflict. And I think I agree to that to an extent. And the extent being, approach someone with respect of just general common courtesy. Yes. Be a good human being. If that other person decides not to be a good human being back to you, don't automatically default into, well, fuck you then. You know, just kind of like, okay, well, you know what? Hey, this is not cool. This is my perspective. This is where you're coming from. I think there's a better way of going about this. And if they continue to be a litter box about it, then I think at that point, it's like, okay, look, bitch, you want to go gangster with it? We're going to go gangster with it.
Yeah. You immediately defaulted back to look, bitch.
Yeah. And I think that
you said if they want to be a litter box, then you go, look, bitch.
Pretty much. I feel like, you know, I want to be a good human being, but if someone doesn't want to be a good human being in return, and after showing that I'm trying to be empathetic and understanding and tolerant and trying to keep the peace, but if they continue not to, they're gonna get that smoke.
And you know what's cool about this, dude?
When regardless of your age, status, whatever, you know, I refuse to believe in this respect your elders for the sake of respecting your elders. If someone's out of pocket,
absolutely,
they need to be engaged regardless of whatever reason you may have.
This is a beautiful conversation for you and I to have and take place between the two of us, because see what I did there? It was redundant. So the reason I love this is because our life experiences are speaking as to our opinions right now and why that should be handled, so on and so forth. So me having gone through like the system, you know, I'm like, by all means, don't get in trouble. Whatever the fuck it takes, you know what I mean? I'm like, avoid at all costs, because that shit sticks to you. Like, incredibly troublesome. And it's only because I have those things. And you know what's funny is, like, I earned most every one of my fucking scars, you know, or marks that follow me, so to speak. But I just don't want them to not get the job that they don't deserve later on in life because they're being an anarchist when they're 19, you know.
But I believe in Congressman John Lewis when he was, you know, designated the maker of good trouble.
I don't trust anybody with two first names. What do you say?
the maker of good trouble.
He
caused good trouble. The first time I heard that phrase was when John Lewis passed. and he was, you know, being remembered. And it struck me so profoundly. And I think that's exactly what I've always been looking to do. I don't cause trouble for the sake of, you know, being a litter box.
Yeah.
I cause trouble to be an agent of change.
Absolutely.
To expose what needs to be changed.
Yes.
And I think that's what I'm trying to get at is you know, breaking these generational norms of respecting your elders. Like, nah, man, you, grandma, you cannot say the N-word, period. Yeah. No, you don't get one allotment.
Yeah. No. Remember I had built that gauge of like generations. Like if you're from 65 to 75, you're allowed to like, hate. Oh, yeah. You're allowed to be racist and hate gays. If you're 65 to 55, you got to drop the racism. Civil rights was in your life, but you can still hate gays. If you're 55 to 45, what the fuck is wrong with you? You can't hate gays. You know what I mean? Because I was going by like civil rights movements, you know, which, but what I liked about this too, is if you'll allow me to try one of these little segue things that you are oh so master of, if you don't mind me, if I can commandeer the show for a few minutes here or so.
Of course.
Is that the difference in the way our brains work and of the thoughts and ideas that we come up with. I wanted to play a little game because you know me so well and so much better than it, like anybody else in my life right now.
Oh, and, I love games.
Yes. Thanks. Play this game with me, bro. And I just made this up. I didn't just make it up, but I made it up for the show. I was really excited about it.
Nice. Do I get a blindfold? It's kinky.
No. You can totally see this one. Watch it come. It's tucked back. Dude, don't worry. I'm Daddy's little princess. I put it away. So I'm going to give like kind of like a, not really a headline, but just like an initial thought. And then you take a wild guess at where my brain went with it. And then I'll tell you from there, like what my thought was. And you know how outrageous I am.
I do, but even I know that I don't know.
Yeah.
What goes on in your head.
And none of them are tricks. They're not setups or anything. These are just actual next thoughts. I know,
that's why it's so funny. Because it's real.
So like I'll do an easy one up first. Like Trump got COVID. What do you think I thought next?
It's good. You can go anywhere. I just don't even know. Trump got COVID, and it's like the most hypocritical thing. Sorry, not sorry. I don't know.
Yeah, I go. Even COVID endorses Donnie T. Man, COVID won't go for Biden. See, so, like we got an idea, right?
Okay.
I go. Okay, this one. I didn't know. I just found out Stephen Hawking cheated on his wife.
Can he even get it up still? How do you cheat on your wife if you can't?
I have no idea, but this is what I thought. I go, those two conversations that you have when you get caught cheating. I swear to God, babe, I don't love her. No, I'm gonna leave her. I swear I'll be leaving her. I just thought of Stephen Hawking in his little robot chair. Oh, yeah. No, I'll be home late tonight, babe. You know?
Yeah, how does that even work? That's funny.
All right. I was reading this article about what a huge piece of the economy cocaine is in Mexico, how it's completely taken over, especially now with COVID, and how it's literally holding up the banks there is drug money.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Take a shot at my next thought.
How do you invest in cocaine? I don't know.
I don't know how you do that, actually, either. But here was what I was thinking. Mexico is so well known for tequila, and at the bottom of the bottle of tequila is a worm. They should throw a cokehead snot rocket down there instead of a worm, because they're both disgusting. And at the end of the bottle, the dude who drinks the snot rocket, like, that, hey, Holmes, you're the real man, dog. You know what I mean? Because who shoots a worm anyways? And a worm never did anything for Mexico's economy.
Okay. It's got like the prize at the bottom of a Cracker Jack box.
Yeah, right? And it's cool. Like, it actually resembles the country of Mexico right now, you know? I got one that says Batman's a dick. I don't know if you can...
Batman's a dick? Like Dick Grayson, who was Robin?
No, like a... Oh, he's a Batman's palace. A litter box. How about that?
Oh, he's a litter box. Okay, yeah, Batman. I've seen a lot of episodes of Batman, and he is a litter box.
Where do you think I went with that, though?
Oh, I got nothing. I don't know. Batman's a dick.
Because I figured, I was like, all he does is beat up poor people. You know? They're like people out trying to sell drugs or steal a necklace or... And then I really raced with it, dude. I was like, why is it so many poor people in Gotham and this dude's a billionaire? You know what? I bet you he outsourced all their jobs. I bet you Wayne Industries bought up the old GMs and Fords and sent them to fucking Mexico And all these poor people are out having a fucking mug and shit. So not only do he steal their jobs, and he goes out at night and kicks the shit out of them too.
I never thought of it that way.
You know what I mean?
Yes, that would make Batman a huge dick. Yes.
Beyond Meat. You know that brand?
Yeah, I love Beyond Meat.
You like it?
I do. I mean, I got to cut down my cholesterol so I can't eat red meat as much. But I fucking love cheeseburgers. So like Impossible Burger, Beyond Meat.
Have you tried turkey burger? Like turkey ground beef? Turkey,
oh, yeah.
Ground turkey?
I've tried it all. I endorse it all. It's awesome.
I love ground turkey. I've heard the Beyond Meat is like not really good for you. I don't know how true. There's a lot of plastic and shit like that. I don't know. That's something some meat eater would say to scare you, right?
I feel fantastic after I eat it.
But my thoughts. Guess what my thought was about the brand Beyond Meat?
There's got to be like a dick joke in there somewhere about being Beyond.
There's not.
Meat.
No, there's okay. not. Not this time. Not this time. Beyond Meat, I just went with like, when something's beyond something, isn't it even more of that thing? Like Bed Bath & Beyond? Like it doesn't go Bed Bath & Beyond and then it's fake beds and baths. So that's when true. It's like Beyond Meat, I'm thinking there's either a foot in here or alien tissue. Like Beyond Meat has to be alien, dead alien animals. Do aliens have cows? Because that's what's in this burger.
It's like the rest of the cow. So listen, we're getting past the meat. It's beyond the meat. So now we got a hoof, maybe an eyeball, some tongue, the tail.
Let me see. I think that's most all of them. Actually, the Rick Moranis story started as one of these things where like Rick Moranis got socked in the face. And then my thought immediately went to like, who did he cross that this dude? To me, that's not random.
Yeah.
You know, like.
I mean, random for New York. I mean, I guess that's a New York thing, right?
Yeah. The knockout game. Or black people hitting white people. Or are you talking about black people hitting white people?
I have no idea, but I think it's just so outlandish violence. I don't know.
I had a
what I hear. Yeah, so speaking of random thoughts, I'm gonna give you one now, okay? We'll play this game.
All right.
So transsexual, Satanist, anarchist.
Okay, wait. There's a lot of fucking things to deal with to unfold in this box, right, bro?
Yeah,
I feel like Brad Pitt and Seven. What's in the box? All right, transsexual. First of all, they got rid of the term. Is it transgender? Because they got rid of sexual because they wanted. No, it's transsexual. Is it transsexual or transgender?
It was transsexual, Satanist, anarchist.
Okay, so transsexual.
Where's the story going?
Satanist, anarchist, transsexual, Satanist, anarchist. This is an all lesbian band from San Francisco that drives down to downtown Disney. Once in a while.
Close.
Right. Now,
this is Aria DeMazo, and she won the GOP nomination for sheriff in New Hampshire.
Fuck, dude. Wait, New Hampshire? Sheriff? Wait, okay, but sheriff's a county position, like in some podunk count in New Hampshire?
There's a county in New Hampshire. And
well, first of all, can I just say, before we go in further, I'm stoked that someone so different got elected to a position. Now, sorry, break it down.
Well, she did it as a trolling measure. So again, Aria, she won the GOP nomination for sheriff in New Hampshire, one of the counties in New Hampshire.
Immediately rescind my last statement.
So Aria, she's actually a libertarian, and she was unable to get on the ballot for her party as a libertarian. So instead, she registered as a Republican for the primary, mostly just to kind of fuck shit up. But she was also wondering if she might lure voters into a trap that would prove a point about a problem with the political system. And that's people blindly voting for any candidate on their party's ballot. And it worked.
That's not trolling. That's politics. She she politics them. Yeah, hell yeah. More power to her, him,
it, her.
You know, her. Kinky bitch, whatever. More fucking power. Yeah, that's not... To me, that's not even trolling. That's politics. Like, okay, I can't get on a ballot as who I am, so I'll be you. And then with this beautiful name, Aria Mendoza.
DeMezzo.
Yeah, same thing. So it's an Italian Mendoza. They lived on an island outside of Sicily, Mendozas and DeMezzos.
Yeah.
And it just, if it was an even day, you were Mendoza. If you're born on an odd day, you were DeMoza. But anyways.
This is something out of the Bernie Sanders playbook. That's exactly what Bernie Sanders did. Bernie Sanders has been an independent in Senate for about the past 30 years or so. But he wanted to run for president. He wouldn't be able to do so successfully as an independent. So he registered as a Democrat. And that was the only way he was able to play.
Unfortunately, DNC is a fucking mafia. I wonder, okay, let's play this in response to the story. Donnie T, right? He was a lifelong Democrat, correct?
Yeah, for majority of the time, he was registered as a Democrat.
Only switched to Republican, anticipating a run for a presidential bid.
Sure.
What if Bernie acknowledged the fact that the DNC is a mafia and there's no fucking way they were going to ever let him be president, and Bernie ran on all his same principles as a Republican? And then all they did was flip it to, like, these are the things that the old Republicans believed in. Because you know how Republicans and Democrats kind of switched places like 68 years ago?
Right.
Wouldn't that have been amazing?
That'd be funny.
Right? And then Republicans all hate it. And they're like, this is a joke. He's never going to be president. And then, boom, we got Bernie S. instead of Donnie T. for president.
I would have supported that.
But as far as the sheriff, I'm glad that she played the game and won. But I hope that she takes the position seriously. And and you know what, dude? New Hampshire, I don't know if they have any minorities outside of being in the extreme minority that she is.
Yeah.
But I hope this is one for us, you know? I hope she sticks up and really kind of takes a look at what opportunities for influence and change that she has to fix in her community.
Yeah, and reading the article, she was saying that she is taking the position seriously. And while she was trolling the Republican Party, not even the Republican Party, she's just trolling
just the system.
Apolitical party to get the nomination. She has every intent of, you know, reforming the system as she would as the sheriff. So now she's going to be running against the incumbent sheriff, Democrat Eli Rivera, who is seeking a fifth term in November. So if you're out in New Hampshire, vote Aria DeMezzo.
Yeah, in that county in New Hampshire. You know, I've recently learned that there's a lot of whole lot of down south up north. I didn't realize that the north is so hillbilly-ish, too, in certain areas.
Oh, you got hillbilly-ish wherever you go.
That's very true. You ever been to fucking Hesperia?
Yeah, the crackhead meth labs just are moving east and then moving into the desert, and eventually they're just moving to Death Valley, and, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I thought that was a really cool story and fit right in the middle of your game. So that was nice.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. That is super cool. I like the way you flipped that on me. I was like,
you're welcome.
You know what? I'm going to write a porno called Transsexual Satanist Mexican. What was the last one?
Anarchist.
Anarchist. Transsexual Satanist Anarchist. All right. What's next, bro?
So what we're talking about is moving and pushing the boundaries of, you know, organizations and kind of bringing a spotlight to things. I wanted to talk about the Proud Boys and Black Lives Matter.
Yes, so please.
Just recently, The Proud Boys have been thrust into the spotlight given the first presidential debate where Trump didn't talk down white supremacy and what have you.
Real quick, can we talk about that for half a second before we get into these two groups?
Sure.
I just wanted your perspective on that because I thought about not only you, but you and I and the show when I saw that take place.
Sure.
I saw two different things happening within a second, and I felt like I could kind of identify with both sides in that one moment. What did you see or feel when he would not denounce white supremacy?
He didn't denounce white supremacy because he didn't shut the fuck up long enough to listen to what they were asking him to do. If he had done so, he would have denounced white supremacy the exact way that they wanted him to.
Okay. So
not because he believes in it, but because they challenged him to say something and he doesn't give a fuck. He'll say whatever he wants to say, whatever. He doesn't take on the challenge of talk down white supremacy because you're a white supremacist and you won't do it. In actuality, he'll say whatever the fuck you want him to just to be at a spite.
So I saw that's cool. I saw a dose of what you mentioned, and then I would love to rewatch it now with the other 80% of what you gave me right now is knowledge. I saw someone being told what to say.
Yeah.
Who is being challenged. And as egocentric as he is, like, was like, you're not going to fucking tell me who. So as a politician, if I was a president, but I would have said that. I would have said, hey, dude, you've never been to the heights I've been to. You're no one. You're a vice president for someone who got elected on their own. I'm president. I was told I wouldn't be. You're not going to tell me what to say. I deal with foreign entities on a daily basis. I'm not going to say what you want me to say, regardless of how I feel about however I feel. I would have checked him on that because it was one of those things where he's like, tell him to denounce it. Biden initiated that conflict. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then, like, as a fucking, I mean, half white, half Mexican, but as a visually, I'm absolutely a white person. I was like, dude, there's not a ton of things that I support Trump on. I like some of his foreign policy. I like some of his economic plan. He actually has unfolded a plan for black businesses too. I'm stoked about that. But I don't, if I loved 19 out of 20 things, I can't have your back, dude, if you can't denounce supremacy of any race.
Right.
I can't follow you. I don't give a fuck how many. This is just more confirmation for me to withdraw from this election. True. Because I don't have anything really with Biden that I agree with. Kamala finally said something about legalizing weed, which I don't smoke weed, but I don't want people going to jail for weed. But in that moment, I kind of felt like it was our 2020 just in a hole in like a five to, well, it wasn't five, but like in a 36 second bit, you know, like I saw someone being challenged who doesn't fucking get challenged. And then I also saw the problem with like, dude, you know how easy it is to say, like, I'm not going to fucking say what you want me to say. I'll denounce what I want when I want, but now's a great time for me to say. And right. Then, you know, the stand down and stand by thing. What are you talking about, dude? What?
Oh, that was just a blurt. He didn't mean that.
You don't think? Yeah, I guess so. No. I don't know, man. No.
He's too dumb to acknowledge that if he had just shut the fuck up and listened to what the question was or listened to what their argument was, he could then process that information and then respond accordingly. And just like you said, I'm the president. I'm not going to have someone try to dictate what I need to say to people.
Yeah.
I know the words that are coming out of my mouth and I'm going to say them accordingly.
Yeah.
Now, granted, that's what someone in their right mind would do. Ooh. This guy is not. So
have you heard this perspective? I wish I heard of this before this moment, that they're realizing the neurological damage that coronavirus has. And that, like, you know, when you're in a deep flu, you can be a little, ooh, like a little crazy. That he was in coronavirus symptoms during the times of those debates. And doctors, I don't know their political background, but I'm willing to guess, are saying that he was amidst like a flu like a delusion. Exactly.
I mean, at this point, I've been saying since the beginning of the pandemic, we don't know the full extent of the ramifications of contracting the coronavirus. We just don't know what it does for how long it has an effect on you. You may have it asymptomatically. You may have it and have minor symptoms, but we don't know what the full extent of what it does long term. Or well, even in the term of, like you said, Trump having it and having flu symptoms and being delusional. I mean, I think that's a cop-out. I think what you saw at the debate was classic Trump. Just on a power kick. He has, but, you know.
How about you couple that with his recklessness about the disease, or the virus? If you couple that with his recklessness, then we have a real accountability issue with any other conversations he had that day, any other dealings he had that day, any other decisions he made that day. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't just credit that to a bad answer on the debate stage. What was he doing as a president the day before and the day after? What decisions did he make? If you're talking about he was in this flu delusion, he should not have been reckless as he was, right?
Yeah, and I think that's an amendment I think Nancy Pelosi had drafted. I need to do more from – I glazed over it. I didn't see too much of it. But something about an amendment where if there was a majority of – members of Congress and members of the cabinet, if they all felt that the president was not in his right state of mind, they could challenge him.
Yeah. Well, fuck, that shit's going to get crazy. You know what though? That's good to put in the books right now for Joe Biden, because we know he's going fucking.
That's good in the books for anybody. I mean, it should always be, you know, not one person, you know, dictating anything. If at any point in time, the leader seems a little bit out of pocket, there should be an organization of checks and balances.
Absolutely. Okay, now I'm so sorry. I steered us away for way longer than I meant.
Oh, good.
Can we please get back to where we were? I apologize. I'm an asshole.
Oh, good.
Letterbox.
BLM and Proud Boys. So they were brought up during the debates, and there was a lot of talk about them. And I saw an article where BLM and the Proud Boys in Salt Lake City, they held a joint press conference to denounce white supremacy together. So they mentioned that President Trump didn't do it at the presidential debate. So they decided to take it upon themselves to come together and denounce white supremacy. So on the surface, that's great. BLM, that Proud Boys, they're coming together. It's progress. But here's where I wanted to dig deeper and kind of question what the hell's going on. These leaders of BLM and Proud Boys that came together, they're not national leaders. They're just the leaders in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
So my question is, when you have these two national organizations being brought up, like Antifa, being brought up as a structured organization akin to like the KKK, but they don't have a structured organization. There is no person at the top. There's no person running BLM. There's no singular person running Proud Boys, but there is a singular person running the KKK. So my concern with the national conversation about these organizations, when they try to illustrate the organizations of making terms and conditions, there isn't, because that's dangerous.
Yeah. I think it's beautiful for Salt Lake, and maybe that city needed it. But as for it being some sort of, you know, national treaty, obviously there's nothing to be honored there. I don't know anything about the Proud Boys, like at all. I really need to, I don't know, man. There's certain things that I don't want to spend my attention on, but the Proud Boys are like gaining momentum, and I hear about them more and more and more often. And I hear two very different extreme things. I hear, just like Black Lives Matter, but I'm educated on Black Lives Matter. So I hear Black Lives Matter, like this communist opportunist movement. And I'm like, I know enough about them to know that's stupid.
Right.
And then I hear that they're like, you know, just trying to bring to the attention of the American people the plight of being a Black American. And I go, that's a little bit more than more closer to the truth. Right.
Right. And I think that's what has allowed Black Lives Matter to flourish. But I think a good example of a leaderless organization, especially with the social movement,
the Crips.
There's no bona fide leader. You know, you look back to the civil rights movement, you have Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and you have people that were able to personify a movement. And because we don't have that now, it's dangerous when you have someone who wants to come in and just kind of overtake it. I think that's kind of what happened with the Tea Party back in, you know, was it 2013, 2014?
No,
2010, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was what, yeah. Do you think that has anything to do with the way we absorb our information now? Because like, and I would be interested in knowing, and maybe you know, whether or not the civil rights movement was called the civil rights movement in the heat of it, or if it was something that we labeled, you know, the generation after, we're like, oh, dude, that was the movement for equal rights, deemed it the civil rights movement. But I think that we're all so like social media involved and just headline involved and 24-hour news cycle. We got like headlines and catchy tags, and there's a reason BLM is the same as, you know, like LOL and like, you know, all that bullshit, dude. Like, it wasn't the CRL or CRM, sorry. That might be a Honda, by the way. No. But you see what I'm saying? Like, the whole reason, the way it's set up is to entertain the masses for the state of mind that they have now and the presence that they are right now, as opposed to like,
I think sometimes,
previous generations.
I think some members of an organization are more driven to make an impression than they are about accomplishing a particular mission or goal. And I think that's concerning. But I think in order for it to make an impact, to drive a conversation, there needs to be a leader involved. I think someone needs to come out of the organization and say, look, I am the organization. It's been agreed upon for me to run the organization. Or like, what was a good example? Cesar Chavez with the labor.
With the labor movement? Yeah. Labor rights too. Is it almost impossible now because, like, truth be told, we're all humans and we all have some sort of cancelable moment in our lives that no leader can make it to the top?
I disagree.
Or people are afraid to, because at some point someone's going to go through your Twitter and be like, you talked about smashing your Barbie toy box over your gay kid's head. You know what I mean? Like,
no, because here's the prime example.
Here's the thing. My argument would be, if Martin Luther King was alive now, he'd be canceled so fucking fast.
not if someone owns it. And my the point I'm trying to get at is that's what Donald Trump did.
Oh, he shit. I didn't think about that.
Donald Trump was the one
who just grabbed him by the pussy, right?
He just did whatever he wants, but then he never backed down. He'd always double down, and people loved that because he stood for something and people bought into it. He became the leader. He became the leader of the Tea Party. He became the leader of the Republican Party. He became the leader of everyone that is fucking could be potentially an asshole. Litter box. And I think if we were to have that on the opposing side, and the closest we came to that was Bernie Sanders, but we didn't have someone who was outspoken for this new generation. Whereas you have someone who was outspoken for an older generation of Americans, which saw him achieve the presidency, Donald Trump. I think we need someone equally on the flip side of that coin. I think the closest we're getting to that as of now is AOC.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
I agree.
Once the shit hits the fan with her, because everyone's got skeletons in the closet.
Yeah.
If she stands up and owns it and says, yeah, I'm not perfect. I made decisions and they weren't popular decisions, what have you, but owns it and continues to lead, I think you may see an interesting turn.
Or also, she's grown up. She's so young that she's grown up in the world that maybe she is pretty flawless, you know, not flawless, yeah, but not cancelable.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, and I don't know, man. I think that we need as a society to agree that our politicians are a reflection of us, whether they win or lose.
Yep.
And oftentimes when it comes to like the DNC, I don't fault the individual members going for it. Like, I just think Bernie was so fucking robbed. You know,
oh, yeah,
like,
me too.
I almost look at like the fact that Donald Trump went from where he was to president. It's just like a marker of how weak the Republican Party is, that someone can infiltrate and run to the top and then lead it. And, oh, yeah, and meanwhile, you know, the thousands, there were thousands, or I mean, hundreds, okay, let's say dozens of very important Republicans nationally recognized that challenged him, his position, and him being there the whole fucking way.
Right.
He still checked them. Now, the Democrat Party, if you get challenged by someone, you might not make it to the fucking debates. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
And on that note, I think next week would be a fantastic time to go over politics and going down the ballot and whatnot, because we're about 2 weeks out by next week's episode. Next week, we will be 2 weeks out from the election. Voting has already commenced in numerous portions of the country. And we should definitely go over it. So we're going to go over the presidential ticket, and then we'll go over the props that's going to affect us here in California, and maybe some of the senator races and stuff like that around the country.
That'd be great. We should do it a bonus episode to make people buy it. I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding.
Venmo. Get us on the Venmo. As always, I want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you, subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance and become a short sponsor. And lastly, don't forget that there is power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine. That's the Main Man Motion. We'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Hey, dude, do you remember when you told me that you thought Chris Watts was a good guy?
I did.
Shut up.
I'm kidding. I have no idea who the fuck it is. Chris Watts.
The guy that killed his family.
Oh, no. See, that's the kind of soundbite that's going to destroy my political career.
Don't even post it, then. Don't worry.